men. Some of the most important words that are written here in this second chapter of the Epistle to the Philippian Church are found there at the end of verse 12, where the Apostle says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Of course, salvation, when it comes to being saved, is a work of God in our hearts, and we have no part in it. We call upon Him, and He, in honouring His word, He saves us. But when Paul here is writing to the church at Philippi, he's encouraging them to make the best of what they do have, to be the best that they can be. And he's really saying to them, give yourself to the service of the Lord. And in the following verse, in verse 13, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. In other words, God gives you the desire to serve Him and to do, speaking of the energy of His good pleasure. And do all things without murmurings and disputings. And all of this, and the reason for it, is summed up in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Paul in this chapter places tremendous emphasis on the importance of serving the Lord and the importance of being willing to sacrifice in order to fulfill that service. Now today when you talk to people in general, I'm speaking about out in the wider public, you speak about sacrifice and service, people will almost automatically think in this modern society, well, what about me? What's in it for me? But we have to ask ourselves the question this morning, is it right that the Christian should harden his heart like the world and think, well, what about me? What's in it for me? I think it's very important to note there that even in Paul's day, mutual concern was not something that was all that popular. If you notice there, he said in verse 20 when he's writing to these Christians, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Every man sought his own and sought after that which was for himself. But in these verses, he introduces us to another young minister, and of course we're speaking here about Timothy. Now it's very likely that he met Timothy on his first missionary journey, if you read Acts chapter 14. And indeed in 2 Timothy 1 and 2, it is evident the Apostle Paul, through his life or through his preaching, he won young Timothy to the Lord. Now, Timothy was not without his difficulties. He obviously had delicate health because Paul wrote to him in 1 Timothy 5 about his often infirmities. But he was a young man whom we believe was brought up very well. He was not a pushy young man. He had a sensitive nature. He seems to have been quite easily hurt. And it seems to me that he was easily discouraged. And yet Paul wrote to Timothy and said to endure hardness. You know, he was really asking him, Timothy, you work out your salvation. You be the best you can. And endure the hardness that comes along with that. Remember he said to them on another occasion, let no man despise thy youth. There was hardness there. There was hardness there displayed towards young Timothy. He had become despondent. And on yet another occasion he says to young Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. He was gifted. He was sensitive. He was easily discouraged. He was very, very talented, I believe, in preaching. But he was one who Timothy was writing to and encouraging him continually to serve the Lord. Now, as this young Christian grew, he prospered in the things of God and he went on with the Lord. And he was one in whom Paul had the utmost confidence. But folks, one of his greatest virtues is discovered there in verse 22. Says, but ye know the proof of him, that is of Timothy, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. I think it is at Sandhurst in England that there is a sign up that says, serve to lead. Serve to lead. In other words, if you want to be a leader of men, and speaking at Sandhurst, of course, it would be in the British Army. If you want to be a leader of men, you serve first. Serve to lead. And here was Timothy. He was willing to serve. And eventually he would be a leader. serve to lead. But I want you to look at the Apostle Paul this morning when he speaks here about service. And when I think of him, I think first of all concerning the Apostle Paul, and we have been very much thinking about service over this past 2 or 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks now, a week of prayer here and then 2 weeks of mission. And we've been encouraged by your help greatly. And we have been thinking a lot about serving the Lord. You do have to sacrifice some sleep. You do have to sacrifice other things you can go to. But it's all part and parcel of serving the Lord. Because you'll notice here, first of all, that Paul, there was a consciously aimed to help. He consciously made that decision that he would be a helpful person. Now, winning friends and influencing people is important to all of us. And if you can in an honourable way win friends to yourself, well, that was well and good. But Paul's main interest here was the spiritual welfare of people. The spiritual welfare of people. He and Timothy both, in verse 22 there, they had what is known as a servant's mind. Now, when you look at the words in verse 22, it says, "He hath served with me in the gospel." Those words almost deliberately echo what is found in verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves, looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." It was in this context that we are introduced to the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read there in verse 5 where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And folks, this was clearly trying to let that mind be in himself that was in Christ Jesus, trying not to serve through vainglory, but trying consciously to be a help to other people. That was the secret. Humanly speaking, and we're speaking here about Paul's conscious aim to help. Humanly speaking, that was the secret of Paul's ministry. Over there in 2 Corinthians, just back a page or two, says there in chapter 4 and the verse 5, says, "For we preach not ourselves." You should read the verse before that. Maybe he's speaking about the devil. He shows us there the devil's ruthlessness. He says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not." You could say that concerning some that have come to the tent in Macabre. We're very glad they've come, but the god of this world hath blinded their minds. It's not only the ruthlessness of the devil, but the realization here, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." The devil knows what he's about. He knows what the business is about in Macabre, and he's extremely busy. But Paul says here, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." And I'm very glad that myself and the Reverend Martin and Colin Tinsley and Chris Killen and the congregations, all of you, can truly say that during this past 2 weeks we've been the servants of the people for Jesus' sake. That we do preach not ourselves. That there has been that conscious decision in our own experience and that aim to be a help to others. Now, this aiming to be a help to others, it almost automatically means some degree of self-denial. "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." And you can read on ahead what it says, the different points there concerning the Lord Jesus, how he denied himself. You see, Paul writes to this church these details because man, naturally, yes, I know there are many kind people, but man has in his nature a sort of a built-in selfishness. A built-in desire to not go out of his way to help anyone, really, if it means putting them out. That is why the Apostle Paul had to make that conscious aim to help others. That is why young Timothy had to make that conscious desire. Well, I'm going to put myself out if I have to. That's why you and I have to and have done that. In other words, he's left himself at the disposal of the Lord. He was available. And Christian, when you're available, that opens up an awful lot of doors. When you're available to do something for the Lord, who knows what the Lord can do with you? Yes, the Lord can use very talented people. Can use people with hardly any talent at all who are willing to improve. But if you're available, if you're at the Lord's disposal, then the Lord, who knows what the Lord can do with you. His will to follow self, Paul's will to follow self, was surrendered. He was a willing slave, as it were. In fact, the word served there in verse 22 is a word from, it's the same word as slave. He has, speaking of Timothy, he hath slaved with me in the gospel. Paul in Ephesians 3 and verse 1 spoke of himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And immediately when you and I think of these things that I've said already, that conscious aim to help others, to help them spiritually, to put ourselves out, to put ourselves at God's disposal for their sakes, the flesh opposes it. That is why we're to focus much upon the mind of Christ, as Paul said in verse 5 and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, we're speaking here, folks, about a surrendered will. And you know something? God himself lays claim upon the will of the Christian. Over there in 1 Corinthians, it's just back a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. God lays claim to your will and to mine. God will work in us. If he has our will, again we're looking there at verse 13 in Philippians chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now we're not able. We're not able in our own strength to do anything for the Lord. And the fact this morning is that even though we surrender our will to the Lord, we're not able to maintain that surrender. Because the flesh cries out and the old man says, what about yourself? Go and please yourself. Why are you putting yourself out here? You could be going somewhere else. You could be doing this, that, or the other. God will maintain it. If you will make, and I will continually make, that conscious aim to help others for the Lord's sake, then the Lord will maintain it. Let's read the words again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And therefore, Paul says there in verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I join and rejoice with you all. He's delighting in it. Now, when you sit down and think about it, you think, well, it's going to mean I can't do this, 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 and this. And I had that ambition and some other aspiration, but the Lord wants me to do this now, and I'm going to help them. And they mightn't even be thankful. They mightn't even be that thankful for it. But Paul has got his eye on the Lord here, and he's saying, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Here's a man who's knowing the blessing of living and walking and working in the centre of the Lord's will. But how easy it is to get your eye upon the distractions. How easy it is to get your eye upon the distractions. And brethren and sisters, the mission is over now, but you and I, it'll be over this afternoon, you and I must continue to live close to the Lord. Every day to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Over there in Acts 26, I'll read a verse for you. You need to turn to it. Verse 22 says there, Acts 26, verse 22, Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He's absolutely full of the joy of the Lord. And part of the reason is that he had made that conscious decision, he had that conscious aim to help others spiritually. And on behalf of the Reverend Martin, I would like to thank you for all of the help that you have been to us during the mission, and I trust that we've been an encouragement to you as well. But let's continue together to consciously aim to help others for the Lord's sake. Of course, unsaved people coming into the mission, they don't really thank you for the effort you've put in, for the prayer time, for all the trouble you've went to, for putting yourself about. But that's not what it's about. It's about having a servant's mind and being at the Lord's beck and call. And you can read over there in 2 Corinthians, we'll not take time to do it, chapter 8, verses 1 to 12, of those that Paul had been looking service for. And it says that, said, this they did, but not as we thought. But first of all, they give their own selves unto the Lord. What a blessing. Yes, they helped Paul and others that needed their help. But first of all, they give their own selves unto the Lord. And may the Lord help us continually to have that conscious aim that we're going to be of help to the Lord. But not only was there that conscious aim here to help others for the Lord's sake, but you'll notice here that the apostle, he cultivated compassion. He cultivated compassion. Remember what we're looking at. We're looking at a man who was a servant or a slave. In the olden days, a servant very often was willingly branded, such as was his love for his master. He would have that brand on him and he would refuse to leave his servitude. He was happy to be known as a slave. And that is the kind of service that the Apostle Paul rendered. He loved his master. He had a great compassion and love for the Lord and a compassion for others. But it was something that he had to work at. You and I can be in a great spirit when we're in the meetings and really enjoying the blessing of the Lord and His presence. And He can answer prayer for us and it's great. But you know, that can disappear. That can disappear. Therefore, we need to cultivate compassion, a great love for the Lord, and the compassion for the souls of men and women. Now, we haven't time this morning, but first of all, that would have driven Paul to the place of prayer. There is no continual compassion in your heart and mind for the unconverted, and no continual love for the Lord if we do not find ourselves at the feet of the Lord. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean He stops loving us, but it means that you and I can grow cold. We can grow cold. And there must be that time at the feet of the Lord. And some of the most blessed times that we've had over in the mission are the 15 or 20 minutes in the prayer meeting before we went over to the tent. The spirit of prayer. The spirit of expectancy. The sense of the Lord's presence has made all the difference and has helped us. But I wonder, when I look at myself, am I cultivating this compassion that Paul had? Am I ready to work on it? Do I really love being among the people of God? Have I really got a desire to, as best as I can, share the message of the gospel? Do not have those things naturally. We'll not naturally be concerned. But if we're found at the feet of the Lord, then we will be concerned. Remember, I think I said this to you before concerning D.L. Moody. He'd been in one of his campaigns and preached, and some man, a very intelligent man, rebuked him afterwards. He said, "Mr. Moody," he said, "during your service, you made, I think he said, 14 serious grammatical errors." And Mr. Moody said, "Well, I'm surprised there's not more than that." He said, "But I'll tell you this, any grammar I have, I'm using it for the Lord. What are you doing? Any grammar I have, I'm using it for the Lord." Paul said he was not there with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but he served in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul, for almost all of his Christian life, was a man who was very physically weak. He was sick a lot. That's why he brought, you'll often find that the apostle Luke, or that Luke was with Paul most of the time. Luke was a physician. He was there to look after him. Paul was sick an awful lot of the time. Timothy was sick. But both of them proved that when they were weak, then they could be strong, that the Lord undertook for them in a spiritual sense. The servant, you see, as Paul on other occasions mentions to us, was a representative. He was an ambassador, and by his behavior, he would indicate something of the character of his master. When the British ambassador goes to China or America or somewhere else, when people look on at that British ambassador, they look and they say, "Well, here's a slight reflection of Britain. Here's a little picture of what we're dealing with." And the Christian ambassador, the Lord's ambassador, wherever we go, people look upon us and say, "Well, here's the Lord's representative. Is he showing compassion for the lost? Is he one who has a desire to be among God's people as the one who is seeking to spread the message of the gospel. And this was something that Paul had to work at. It was something Timothy had to work at. And Paul had to write to him about it and say, listen, Timothy, you're down. Stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Let no man despise thy youth. Personally, I believe that older people had tried to tromp over him. But Paul was trying to encourage him to love the Master with all his heart, to love the lost, to care for other Christians, as I believe he did when Paul mentions him here in this context when he says, I had no other man that cared for your state. Timothy did. I trust that the Lord will help us to cultivate a compassion for the lost and a love for the people of God. But notice something else about him here as a servant. Not only did he consciously aim, and that brings responsibility, but he cultivated that compassion. That too brings responsibility. All the time looking to the Lord, doing the best we can, and praying as though everything depends upon him. But notice here that they were God-directed men. Now, there's a thought here for those of us who are parents. Paul taught Timothy the word and permitted him to watch his ministry. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the way that Paul at that time trained him, as it were, as a disciple. He gave instruction. But as well as that instruction, he gave him practical experience. And how important that is, even as we're seeking to bring up children, because someone has said that experience without teaching can lead to discouragement. You've got to experience and you don't know what's happening, and you become discouraged, and before you know you become withdrawn from it. But on the other hand, teaching without experience can lead to just deadness. You can know plenty and do nothing. As far as Paul's experience with Timothy was concerned, Paul saw to it that Timothy had both. That he had the teaching, but also that he had the experience. He taught him much, but he says to him, now you stir up the Spirit of God that is in you, the gift of God that is in you. You endure hardness. I believe you'd have taught him plenty about the hardness and what to expect. In fact, if you read chapter 1, verse 13, he says, hold fast. Chapter 2, verse 15, study. Chapter 2, verse 22, flee. Chapter 3, verse 14, continue. Chapter 4, verse 5, watch, and so on. He wanted this young man to be directed, but he wanted him to be directed aright. Yes, Paul was the human teacher, but ultimately the Lord was the teacher. The Lord was the one that directed. And as you and I would seek to bring up children, we look to the Lord to direct them. We have our responsibility. Yes, we teach them, but we must also let them live and give them experience and try to keep a balance with them there. So it is in serving the Lord. The Lord has much to teach us through His Word. But if you read the Bible and you can quote great passages of God's Word off verbatim, what good is that if you never do anything? And on the other hand, if you're very talented and you go about doing things in the power of the flesh and you spend no time in the Word of God, you've got the balance all wrong. Paul was a man who was balanced, and he sought to teach Timothy to be a young man who was balanced, and how the lost world out there needs to see balanced Christians. And as Paul was writing here to the church at Philippi, he is speaking very highly of this young man, and he's speaking of Timothy as one who is balanced. I trust that you and I will seek to have the compassion that he had, the concern that he had, and the conscious desire that he had to be of help to others. There's one final thing we want to mention here, and it is the servant's reward. You see, God is no man's debtor. You've served the Lord well now for 2 weeks in particular. 3 weeks, prayer meetings here, over at the mission, praying for it at home if you're not able to come, and in various other ways. But the Lord rewards in time. He rewards in time by instilling in us a sense of contentment having done something that's worthwhile. No one may come and pat you on the back and say, well, I'm glad you attended. I'm glad you prayed for the mission. Or no one who attends may come and say, well, it was even good to see you here. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And the Lord rewards you by way of personal blessing. Personal blessing. There's no blessing like the blessing that comes through serving the Lord. And the Lord does reward His people. There's also the reward of knowing that as far as lost people are concerned, you've done your very best to reach them. And you've played your part in seeking to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul was through many ups and downs. There's many a time he could have become discouraged and depressed and downcast. He could even have turned his back upon the work and walked away, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And he didn't want Timothy to do that. And he didn't want this church at Philippi that he loved to do that. He says there in verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." And we've read the other verses together. We know that there were very few who were concerned. But Paul was. He knew Timothy was. "And I trust in our own day and generation that as the congregation here and over in Lisburn have given themselves to this mission and sought to be the very best they can for the Lord and do their very best to reach out to the men and women of McGabbery and the surrounding area, I trust the Lord will help us to continue to serve in that way and to be the best that we can for Him, knowing that our service for God is not in vain in the Lord." May the Lord bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning.